Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome into the Barn Goddess Radio Show. Barn Goddess Lori Frazee is the star and the host of this show, and she's off doing a huge catering event tonight, but she will be in shortly, so I'm just setting in for a period until she gets here, and got a great show lined up for you tonight. We've got a couple FBA judges that'll be coming on, and then we've got a fella who's a great personality in barbecue, be coming in just a little later, and he'll be talking about his huge line of products. And I tell you, Lori has done a wonderful job on Barn Goddess. Last year, in the few months that she had the Barn Goddess show, she had 130 guests that came through her show, and she's got a list of great sponsors, and one of those sponsors we'd like to thank right now is Jim Elser from Sweet Smoke Q. Now, Barbecue Superstars morning show, Sweet Smoke Q is a staple. Folks, we use Sweet Smoke Q on all our pork. We love it because it's a juice. It's not a powder. It mixes so easily in with whatever we choose to mix with it. Now, I love blueberry juice. Some people like white grape. Other people like apple juice. We love to use Sweet Smoke Q, and we want you to give it a try. We actually do sell it on Barbecue Superstars, but if you go to www.sweetsmokeq, you can buy all you want right there. He also has the juice can, which is a ugly drum smoker, and it's an outstanding smoker. He's done a wonderful job with it, and we understand that Jim Elser is going to be coming out with his beef injection also, so it'll be a Sweet Smoke Q beef injection, Sweet Smoke Q pork injection, and it's becoming a full-blown system. Get the cooker, the injection, and I'm sure he'll be coming out with some rubs and sauces down the road. Now, Jim Elser took first place in the FBA all year last year until the final contest, and he is once again in the lead in the FBA. Jim Elser has won his share of contests, but he's a consistent top five finisher. And so somebody with that kind of resume, you can pretty much be guaranteed puts out some great products. She also has Royal Oak now. Royal Oak is my sponsor, and it's also Lori Frazee's sponsor. And Royal Oak is some great charcoal. It's really great addition to your cook. And the big thing about Royal Oak is BTU. Royal Oak will crank up the heat. You can cook it hot and fast, but mostly it'll make your cooker respond. So get yourself some Royal Oak lump charcoal. Now, lump charcoal has very little if any, additives at all. It's just pure wood that's been carbonized. And what better can you do than burn carbonized oak in your next cook? It'll put out the BTUs. It'll put out the flavor. And it's the charcoal of champions. As you know, Jim Berg, Killer Bees, won 10 grands in the KCBS, and he won 4 grands in the SBN, and won Team of the Year, took third place in KCBS. And he did all that on Royal Oak. Now, on Barbecue Superstars right now, we just reloaded our top 100 sauces and rubs. We've added a few. We're up to 244 sauces. If you'd like to get your sauce on the top 100 sauces, all you got to do is email me. Now, there is one requirement to get on the top 100, and that is you have to have some internet sales. If we put you on the top 100, which is 244 sauces, we'd like to make it where people can hit the link and go purchase your sauce. Go ahead and get yourself a co-packer. Get that little agriculture stamp on there. It tells you how healthy it is and what it'll do for you. And then put yourself on the internet with it and send me a link. We had 3,000 people a day go to that page over the last week. And just that one page. So you will get a lot of exposure, and we hope to help you make a living on barbecue. That's what Barbecue Superstar is all about. It's about promoting the cooks. It's about promoting people so they can make a living on barbecue. And you know what? There's no better life than trying to make a living on barbecue. And I love what I do. Now, I don't make a living at it yet. But I get up every morning on Monday through Friday, and I do a morning cooking show, and then we have radio shows every night. And we've got a lot of different things planned down the road. And it's a wonderful life. You know, what better thing can you do than to crank up that good blue smoke, come back and cook it up, eat it up, pass it out to your friends, and go to the next contest. You know, that's something that you can really get hooked on. It gets to be a rhythm. You know, you come in Saturday night, you're tired. You've been to a contest. Sunday, you're kind of recovering. Monday, well, you don't want to worry about the next comp, but by Wednesday, you're ready to load that trailer up and hit it again. And that's a wonderful life, too. And we love to promote that on Barbecue Superstars as well as everything else. So we're hoping we're going to have some callers and some people chime in. Now, we're starting the Barbecue Superstars Sports Network. Now, I've had a lot of people, you know, say, well, maybe I ought to call it the Barbecue Superstars Competition Network, or several other different names. And I tell you, I want to promote barbecue as a sport. So we're gonna keep the word sport in the center. So it's B for Barbecue Superstars, SP for sport. There's not two words there. There was some confusion about that. And then the last letter is network, Barbecue Superstars Sport Network. We're going to be unveiling the inaugural episode of Barbecue Superstar Sports Network in Apopka. And Apopka, Florida is going to be the site of a huge contest with $29,000 in prizes and a huge laundry list of expert cooks. Going to have the Florida Barbecue Association sanctioning the contest. So come on out to Apopka, Florida, February 7th, 8th, and 9th. Now, Apopka has got so many events going on in it. It was a festival before barbecue was added. But on Sunday, they have a huge chili contest. Now, if you're a barbecue cook, you probably got an idea how to cook a little chili. And we'd love for you to come out on Sunday in Apopka and compete in the chili contest. All you've got to do is go to flbbqa.org and go to the contest Apopka and sign up for that contest, or call the event organizer and get in touch with him. I'm sure he'll let you in. They're probably still taking teas for each event. So many events, so much going on. Apopka, Florida is going to be the site of a huge contest. Now, there's another huge contest I'll mention before we get our first caller in here. Winter Haven, Florida. Frank Smoe does a wonderful job for the Boys Clubs of America. They've got over 500 children in them Boys Clubs, and they're totally supported by Frank Smoe's effort at the Winter Haven contest. And, you know, I've never even known – oh, it's Smoke on the Water. That's what it is. I'll say, I really don't even know what the name of the contest is, because we always know it's Winter Haven, Frank Smoe, and the Kids Clubs of America. And he has most of his money raised before they open the gates of the contest. And, you know, that's really wonderful because they're 100% the support of the Kids Club. Now, that's this week. Today is Tuesday. So Friday they will be opening the contest. Now, he's got water sports. They'll have water skiers. And it's all people from Kissimmee, who used to be in that big theme park out there. I'm not sure. I think they recalled it something like the Lego something or something. But, I'll tell you, they do the pyramid. They do flipping, turning, spinning. Them boats are mega powerful out there, and they put on a heck of a show. I actually filmed it the first year I started Barbecue Superstars. And then they have an air show. There'll be planes flying overhead. And I'll tell you a special part of that Winter Haven contest, and that's the opening ceremony. And on Friday, they'll stop everything, and they'll have the national anthem. And it's a special moment in barbecue in Winter Haven. at that contest out there. So get in touch with Frank Smoe. I don't know if he's got any room left, because I know after Lakeland they all pile in. But outstanding contest down there in Winter Haven. Check that out. And I know that Lori's got some more sponsors. I don't know who all they are. But we want to thank everybody who's involved with Barn Goddess and let you know we appreciate you sponsoring her show. You sponsor her team. And, you know, Barn Goddess is a pretty good competitor. She actually took second in Biscuit the other week. And we know that Jim Elser has a lot of contact and works with Barn Goddess a lot on her flavor profiles and on her team. And, you know, I wish Jim Elser would consider adding his own barbecue class, because anybody that can ride number one in the FBA so many weeks so long has probably got some good information they can put out there. But, you know, there are some great competition schools already. Rub Bagby, who really dominates everything he does. He's a phenomenal competitor, great guy, good person. And he won Barbecue Pit Masters. He's won all kinds of contests and every sanctioned body. And when he comes to the plate in the barbecue contest, it's serious business. But he's got a big-time barbecue school, and you need to go to swampboys.com, check out his dates, try to get in touch with him. And then also Dana L. Hillis. Now, Dana just got done with the barbecue school, I think this past week, and now's the time to sign up, because now it's wide open for the next class. And if you're a backyard cook, it doesn't matter. He's got separated backyard cooks. So, you know, if you're a backyard and you're not really interested in big kind of competition, but you want to figure out how to do a backyard competition in the FBA or just wow your friends in your backyard, he's got a complete separate school for teaching you how to cook backyard barbecue. Then, of course, he's got the big champion school, because Dana Hillis has won a few comps himself. And so you can sign up for that. It's got plenty of places to put your RV, plenty of places for you to put your cookers. He's got a huge building. So really, most of the class will be inside a building, so you're out of the elements. But then that night, he'll stick with you. He'll show you what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, and his system. And I tell you, he's helped a lot of competition cooks already in the FBA. So check with Dana Hillis on that. And, boy, I tell you, this world of barbecue is something wonderful. I know most of you enjoy it every day, and there's nothing like cranking up that big old grill and letting the smoke roll. I'll take one from Chris Chadwick. And I tell you, my whole life has changed. You know, I'm a registered pharmacist. I used to work 90 hours a week and got to looking on the Internet at barbecue, got interested. And for some reason, when I went out there, I built myself a brick grill in the backyard. When that blue smoke started rolling, it seemed like all my troubles were washed away, and the pain and stress of working a big corporate job just kind of fell off to the side. And, you know, I've enjoyed it ever since. It's been a wonderful thing. Now, one thing I will mention, and I hope the word gets out, I know the national barbecue ranking for all the cooks has been on pretty hot and off pretty hot. And it's been a year now since it's been updated. And, you know, Barbecue Superstars is my life. I work on it 24-7. I'm available to work on it 24-7. I have a commitment 24-7 to broadcasting barbecue, but also to keeping up with standings. You know, I've got the top 100 sauces, rubs, marinades, hot dogs, brats, hamburger ingredients, top 100 blogs. And keeping up with the national rankings would just be another day at the office for me. And the other thing is, when I go out and do the Barbecue Superstar Sports Network, I could report on you and your standing in the world. And we're interested in doing that. We'd like to pursue that. I don't know who I need to talk to. Whoever's got control of that right now, I would love to get involved. Since you don't have the time and it hasn't been updated in a long time, that's no problem. We'll be more than glad to step in and help you out with that. And I tell you what, it's about supporting the teams. And if you've got the possibility to rank the teams nationally so that they can get sponsorship, you know, if you got somebody like Jim Berg who competed in SBN, SCBA, in the FBA, and the KCBS, he needs to get a collective credit for all those wins and all those competitions. And really the only way you can do it is through a national ranking system. Now, if they don't want me to take over the one that's already in place, then I may go ahead and create my own. And I'm interested in doing that. And if you want to help me create my own, then or Barbecue Superstar Zone, which will be we, it'll be ours. It won't be mine. I won't be listed on there. So if I do it, it'll be for you because you're the only ones who will be listed there, and I'd be more than glad to jump in there and take care of that for you so that you always know where you're at, what you need to do to get up. Now, barbecuescores.com, they have a ranking system. They mostly use KCBS. I think they're doing FBA now. But one thing they do with Barbecue Scores that's really wonderful is each one of the individual teams out there that are not scoring in the top 10 every time, they're able to, by graphing your scores for each category, give you an idea of where you ranked when in the process of your score. So, you know, you can look where your chicken went down or your ribs went up and your, and so, with that information, you'll be able to kind of stand back and analyze as a team what you need to do to get better. And support barbecuescores.com. Make sure you go there at least once or twice a week or more and evaluate your scores, evaluate your team, and just jump in there and support barbecue by going to barbecuescores.com. And then Operation Barbecue Relief is also another thing that you need to take part in right there. Operation Barbecue Relief is a nonprofit organization committed to disaster relief. And when disaster strikes, Operation Barbecue Relief moves. And I think they're in all 50 states now. They're building infrastructure every day, getting stronger, getting bigger. And, you know, there's nothing like when a hurricane comes through and people are killed and maimed and hurt and problems arise that Operation Barbecue Relief is able to step in that gap and at least provide some good meals. And I tell you, they are good meals. And I think they've cooked over 500,000 meals for all those people. And so I tell you, OBR, if you see that sign on a team's banner as you're walking by, go shake their hand for supporting Operation Barbecue Relief. But Google Operation Barbecue Relief and get involved with that today. It's a fantastic place to go and thing to do. Now, this morning on Barbecue Superstar Morning Show, we did receive Talk Texan Barbecue's full line of rubs and injections. And what a wonderful group of products it was. I was so impressed by all of his products, good quality championship products. Now, he took second place at the American Royal. His name's Philip Lujan, and he's been using these things for years. He sort of got involved in a bet with another competitor. He was never meaning to sell them or produce them, but he won the bet, and he decided to go ahead and put these rubs out, and we're really lucky to have it. So now, as you see things shaping up, you got Big Ron's. I guess the number one should start in order. You know, Butcher Barbecue was the originator and the first with complete system for cooking. And then you got Cosmo Q. Cosmo Q is a complete with a school system. Cosmo Q is like going to McDonald's. You know, you go by the window and you order up. And you got, but now we've got Talk Texas Barbecue, who's got another complete system. He doesn't have a barbecue school to go with it as far as buying DVDs. But it's an excellent system. And hats off to Talk Texan Barbecue, Philip Lujan. All right, we got our first caller, 518-698.
Hello,
hey,
this is
ahead,
Jeff.
518.
Hello, this is Jeff from upstate New York.
Okay.
Nope, just wanted to listen to the radio and hear what you guys are offering this evening.
Oh, okay, well, we got a bunch of guests who are supposed to call in. We're waiting for those to call in, and Barn Goddess is usually here, but she's off doing a big-time catering event, and she's supposed to be here in just a few minutes. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Jeff. Do you cook barbecue up there?
Yes, we do. Last year, we were in it was our first season in competition barbecue. We were able to do three of them, and I just set an aggressive goal to hit all eight that are being offered in New York State this year.
Oh, wow. And who is the sanctioning body?
All the ones I'm entering in are KCBS.
Okay. And what part of New York do you live in?
I'm in upstate New York, real close to Saratoga.
Oh, wow. Now, what's the temperature outside right now?
It looks like 9 degrees.
Oh, wow.
I think it's going, so when I wake up in the morning, it'll be -5.
Oh, wow. What's the weather like? I mean, is it snowing a lot? Or?
I think we've had 36 inches so far this season, and that's melted down some. We're going to have a constant ground covering for at least another month or two.
Well, what kind of peppers do you cook on? Oh, go ahead.
I have Meadow Creek, the PS250. So that thing, we cook when it's -10. We cook when it's snowing, when it's raining, when it's windy. So that's what I think has helped us, being pretty good and consistent, being able to overcome some of those obstacles.
Now, let's see the TS one you're talking about, that's a pull behind, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yep. So, offset, it's got a little warming chamber up above it.
Now, what kind of wood or charcoal, or how do you work your heating system?
Well, I saw you talking about the Royal product ahead of time. That's what we like to use to start it, with one chimney full of that. And it's taken me a while to find out which wood I like best, but we've been going with a mixture of oak, maple, and cherry.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I was going with the full cherry, but I don't think I needed that, and I wasn't getting all the BTUs I wanted.
Okay.
So,
Do you start off with oak and then switch, or how do you work it?
No, the oak really gets it going good, and then I still got to work on it a little bit, but I just try to rotate out the pieces. So in a perfect world, I'm putting a stick on every half hour, 45 minutes, and I just try to rotate between those three pieces.
Okay. Well, now, how's your chamber heat? That's one thing that's always a big question. Is it warmer by the box than it is on the other end, or does it depend on the height of the nose, or how about evenness of heat? How's that thing play on that?
I believe it's very even. Once that mass gets heated and maintained, I will say I do have a spot that's a little hotter and a spot that's a little cooler. I do have to be a little careful closer to the burn box, but if I have the thing totally filled up, like if we're catering or something, I just have to remember to rotate it, not leave, the one piece down there. I found out which spot gets hit real heavy with the smoke first, and like you said, the spot that's a little hotter. But as far as a little hotter, it's more similar than it is different.
All right, now Barn Goddess is here, so I'm going to step back. And Lori, how you doing tonight? Okay, we've got Lori Frazee on the line. I don't know if her phone's working or not, but she is on the line. Anytime you get ready, Lori, just jump in here. We got a Cook from upstate New York on right now. We're waiting for your prime guest to call in. And
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now, Daryl?
Yeah, now I got you.
Okay, it's pouring here, and like I started to say, I've never seen 45 people eat as quick as these guys did.
So they made you wait, but they got done quick.
Yeah, which is amazing. So I appreciate you sitting in. Now, I heard somebody talking about a hot spot on a cooker. Who was that?
Hi, Lori. It's Jeff Starks from 3BQ.
Hey. Well, now I forget, Jeff. What are you using? What are you cooking on?
We have the Meadow Creek TS-250.
That's right. Oh, that's
yep.
Right. Well, and that's a reverse flow?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. Your hot spot is by the firebox?
Well, but there again, I wouldn't describe it as a hot spot. You know, it's just I have learned where one is I should probably do an experiment so I can find out what the variance is. But it's a little hotter. I'm not going to say it's 300 degrees, but, you know, it might be 250 if I'm trying to maintain 225. And then another part of the smoker might be hanging out at 220.
Yeah. You know, my reverse flow is kind of the big one, and I'm picking up a new one tomorrow, but my big reverse flow, the hot spot is in that as you face it, it's in the opposite side from the box on that top shelf.
Mm.
As it comes around back to, you know, search for the chimney, that's where my hot
mm-hmm.
spot is. So when I use the big one for competition or something, that's where I cook my chicken and my ribs. Of course, it's 18 foot. But now this one I'm supposed to get tomorrow, let me tell you, I looked at a guy this weekend. He had no variance in that at all.
Hmm. Yeah, now you got me curious. Now I got to stick about 8 things in that thermometer and just watch it for a while.
Well, you know, we were talking about it because I met a gentleman this weekend at that Mac Daddy amateur challenge, and it was the first time he cooked on his rig. And he felt like it was different, but he was also facing the wind. So every
yep.
time he opened it, he was blowing wind in there, and it was taking the temperature off.
Yep. And I found that with mine, too. It's very resilient with the temperature, with the rain, with the snow. But if the wind is going directly into that burn box, it almost like it sucks. It like pushes the temperature right through it and right out the chimney.
Yeah, sure. And
yeah,
you know, it's a natural guru.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, Daryl, you're going to have to keep me in line here because Tim will be calling in. So you're going to just have to jump in and go, all right, you two, you got to break it up or something. And that'll
all
be
right.
Fine.
All right, I got you. I'm on top of it.
Okay. You're the man. So, Jeff, what else is going on with you?
Well, I think you saw I decided to enter all 8 of the competitions that New York has to offer for KCBS. And I've been putting my feelers out with some sponsorship, and so far I'm funded 25%.
Well, then you're doing a lot better than a lot of guys, because and me included, because
mm-hmm.
The funding part is the hardest, absolute hardest thing to generate out there. So I saw that you actually did fund me, wasn't it? I saw your post.
I don't want everybody jumping on it, but yeah, Federal Express, they were having a $25,000 grant program. So you tell a little bit about yourself, and they're going to assess you, and they're going to narrow that down to 100 people. And then out of those 100, they're going to pick 10 who they'll give anywhere from $1,000 to $25,000 grant money to.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And you figure it's like 10 times worse than
yes.
Barbecue Masters.
Yep, nope, can't hurt, you know.
Yeah. No,
all right, we got us another caller, 863-213.
That's him. That's our first guest this evening. So if you'll put him on, Folks, we've got Tim Hughes, which is, today is a two for Tuesday. We've got two Tims and we've got two brothers. So, and we've got two hosts. So it's a two for Tuesday, and the first Tim is Tim Hughes. Can you hear me, Tim?
I can hear you.
Wow, you sound really good for, because I'm on the phone too. So what I wanted to chat with you about, and you don't have to worry about what your brother says, because you guys are going to have different opinions in this. And I love to talk to Marty and Karen Hyde and two different people with different opinions on judging is not going to happen more than there. So, you know, tell us how you got started in judging.
Well, it was actually my brother Chad's idea. He came up to me about 3 years ago, and he says, I've been looking into this barbecue judging. Is that something you want to do? So I said, well, sure, if that means we can eat some good barbecue. So we looked in to find the nearest class, and it was down in, I think it was Venice. So we took the trip down there to Venice to take the class, and we've been hitting it strong ever since.
Had you been to a contest before you did that class?
I didn't even know there was contest before I did that class.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, you guys are buddies with Jim Elser, but were you friends before barbecue?
No, Chad actually liked his barbecue sauce because he had seen him at some contest and liked his barbecue sauce and got a hold of him and said he wanted to buy some of his barbecue sauce. So Jim said, well, I'm taking this class down in Venice, and Chad said, well, we are too. So that's how we met up with Jim down at that barbecue judging class.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I've heard a lot of people. That must have been a really big class.
I think there was probably 25 or 30 in that class.
Yeah, well, then I must have talked to everybody that's ever gone to that class because everybody talked about it, and that, you know, that contest has such a good reputation. So I'm sure you had a good time. Did you judge right after the class, or did you have to hold out?
There was no spot available to judge for that particular contest, so we had to hold out. And I think my actually first judging was Jim's new contest that he did, but at that year it wasn't sanctioned. But that was my first judging that I did.
Oh, wow. And that's a great thing to do, too, whether or sanctioned. Daryl, are we having problems?
No, we got you. You actually have another caller, 407-697.
That's Angela. She can just listen. She's having a good time.
Okay.
we'll get her in here too. But so Jim, okay. Let me ask you. You and I had a brief little conversation about this the other day. Is there any interest for you to potentially cook also?
Well, yes, there is. When I started getting into the judging, and then I started hanging out with Jim, and I started seeing how good this stuff actually is, and so I wanted to become a team, or at least help somebody on a team or have my own team. So yeah, that's been an aspiration of mine for about a year and a half now. So I'm working towards that, and I'm hoping to do something, if not this year, the beginning of next year. I'm just trying to get all my ducks in a row and, you know, be able to do it right.
And do you cook on, what do you cook on at home or something?
I actually have one of the juice cans.
Oh, and you cook all kinds of stuff on there?
I cook everything on that. I also cook with a friend of mine, Sean. We rescued an offset stick burner from the side of the road about 2.5 years ago. And we put about $30 into it, and we've cooked hundreds and hundreds of pounds of meat through that.
Is that right? That's
hilarious. And I think it was actually Doug Francis's, because he lived right around the corner from us.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was actually his one that he put out by the road that we rescued from the side of the road, and that's what we started on.
We still
cook on that to this day.
Well, I've seen where people have crashed their cookers and they just leave them because they're, you know, they don't have the wherewithal to take care of it. It was, you know, a little on the dead side anyway. So I thought you meant you rescued one that somebody wrecked and left it kind of thing. So
No, they put it out for the garbage, and I think I said we put about $30 into it, and we've been cooking on it for 2.5 years now.
That's hilarious. So we'll have to bug Francis' chops on that. Holland's Gone Wild, of course, they offer smoke on a juice can. Now, let me ask you, so if you were to give a new team some advice, let's start out as a judge. What would your advice be to a new team?
To a new team, take the judging class. Because with the judging class and then judge a couple of contests, you know what the judges are looking for, so you know how to prepare your turn-ins and your meat and the way you set up your boxes. So that would be something that I would definitely suggest is take the judging class.
Yeah.
Judge a couple of contests.
That's great advice. Now, how many contests do you have under your belt?
I think I'm at 11 or 12 with two of them being table captains.
Oh, nice. Does that matter in the status of, master judge or anything?
You do have to have 5 table captains in order to qualify for a master judge.
You know,
I think you have to have 25 contests, 20 of them being regular, and then 5 of them being table captains. So a total of 25 contests judged with 5 of those being table captains. And you have to have cooked with a team.
Okay, yeah. The cooking with a team, I think pretty much everybody kind of knows about. But I didn't remember that part about doing the table captain thing. So that's pretty important. And that's pretty fun because I actually table captain in a non-sanctioned contest for the Imperial Polk County deal, and I had a blast doing that.
I actually prefer to table captain. I like it. I mean, I thought it would be a little intimidating or scary at first, but once I did it, I actually like table captaining.
Yeah, I think it's you really get to see the boxes and. I don't know. I guess I appreciate what everybody else has to say about the boxes as a cook team also.
Right. Well, you see the boxes at first, so you get to inspect them before you take them to your table to make sure there's no foreign objects in there, to make sure that you know, there's enough pieces of meat in there for the table to get. And then, you know, once the cards are turned in, you're also looking at all the cards to make sure that all the judges are in about the same line of judging. There's nobody way off or something. If everybody's given 9.5s and 10s and then you got somebody putting in 8s and 8.5s, then that's something that has to be addressed.
Well, and I know that FDA is pretty good about addressing that. And, you know, judges they're not going to change their score, but they need to be talked to about it. I'm not saying like we send them off to another foreign country and have them pre-trained. But what do you think about that ultimate low score, you know, judge?
Well, if the table captain is doing his or her job properly, then he or she will notice the difference in scores and take it to the rep that's in there and let them know. So the chicken score cannot, you know, a score cannot be changed once it's put down. But if he catches it in ahead of time, then it may not affect the rest of the scores that much. Once the rep talks to him and says, you know, I think you may be judging a little low on this. Let's pay more attention to what you're doing or something, you know, whatever, however they talk to him.
Yeah, because I find when I'm judging, and I'm sure you can address this too, that sometimes the teams, and I'm a big proponent of the teams taking a judging class and judging, but sometimes the teams are harder on other teams. What do you think?
We do have team members that are judging in every one of those. So they kind of, they're a lot more critical against other teams than judges are, actually.
Yeah. What do you think about presentation as far as, you know, how FDA handles that?
As far as what part of the presentation, how the scoring is for presentation?
Yeah, you know, because it's not a third of it, but, you know, like I feel like presentation should be freebie. if people spend time on the boxes, you know, I want to give them a good score, you know.
I think a lot of judges score high on presentation unless it's just a junk box. And believe it, we have some junk boxes come through there where it looks like stuff has just been thrown in the box without any care in the world. And, you know, you have to score low on that. But I think as long as it looks good and it looks like they took the time and the size of the pieces of meat are close to the same size and it's not glopped up with sauce on it, you know, you're supposed to want to judge by how much you want to dig into that box to eat it.
Yeah. Now, have you, whether you've been table fasting or not, have you been in a table where they've had to EQ somebody to qualify?
Yes, I was. I've been in one DQ, and it was because of a foreign object in the box on my table. It was what appeared to be a hair laying across the top of one of the pieces of chicken. We don't know if it was a hair or if it was a bristle from a brush, but it looked like a curly hair on top of the chicken.
Yeah.
So we had to DQ that box.
That's disheartening.
And then I've been in the room with DQs on undercooked chicken or, you know, and most of the undercookedness is for chicken. It's not for any of the other stuff.
Right, right. Now, this is going on your third year to judge?
Yes.
Do you have any idea right now what the judge list looks like? How many judges are certified in FBA?
Oh, wow. I have no idea how many judges are certified in the FBA. I know that there's, I mean, even a big competition coming up, they're begging for judges,
yes,
right now for the Apopka competition.
Well,
so I think they have like, I think, 65 or 70 on book right now.
Yeah, and when I talked to Chuck today, because he had sent me a little notice, in between the time he sent me a notice to say, hey, we need some, he got 25 additional judges today.
Well, that's
so
fantastic.
Yeah, they'll take judges, but they're going to put them on a wait list. Yeah, because, I mean, look at the Lake City contest. You know, we were up there, and I was supposed to cook with Jim, and I'm in the trailer, and Tony said, don't do anything in this trailer. We're short 25 judges.
Wow,
so
how can you be short 25? That's amazing there. I know, I just actually looked on the list today, and I got confirmed today for the Thomaston, Georgia contest.
Oh, good.
So they just put that list up today, and there's, I counted those up, and there was, I think, 64.
Wow.
That has been confirmed right now.
I didn't realize that was that big of a contest.
I believe it's 64 that I counted, and for the Thomaston. So
wow.
I'm pretty lucky to be caught on that, because I'm going to North Carolina for a couple of months, and we were leaving that weekend anyways to come back. So I'm like, well, heck, why not just stop by and get some barbecue on the way back home?
Yeah, get a bag to go. That was going to be my next question. Are you doing any others out of the state, or are you only doing in Florida?
Well, that's the first one that I've ever done out of state, but, you know, we'll see how that goes, and, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to doing more out of state. We'll see how this one goes, and, you know, it's just for a judge, it's a long drive to go out of state just to judge a contest.
That is. Now, have you thought about doing any of the other sanctioning body, whether it be DBA or KCBS?
Well, Chad and I were just talking about that the other day, about the KCBS, that we, you know, there are two, you know, I think there's, what, three or four contests in Florida for the KCBS? So we were actually discussing the possibility of trying to join up on that, just so we can do a couple of, like, we'd love to judge Pig Fest, Lakeland Pig Fest. That would be awesome to do that.
Yeah, but then who would help Jim?
Well, maybe I'll judge it, and Chad can continue helping Jim. Since Chad's the grand champion helper, I'm only the third place helper.
Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? Oh, did you cook with Jim before?
I cooked with him for a KCBS contest at the Sun and Fun. I think that was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we got third place overall.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of can't even think of when that was. I'm delirious on dates for a contest. What city was that in?
It was in Lakeland, at the Lakeland Sun and Fun Airport.
That's right, the airport. That's all I think about it is the airport one. Okay, because there's...
Yeah, we got third place out of that one total in the rain, getting all of our awards and stuff in the rain. It was rained all weekend.
Yeah, and that makes it miserable, but, you know, it's still better than working.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You're going to North Carolina. What's your last contest, then, that you'll be doing in Florida?
I'm leaving probably tomorrow or the next day to go to North Carolina.
Oh, so you're done.
And then I'll be back, coming back that weekend to Thomaston, and then I'll be judging the, hopefully, I haven't been confirmed, but hopefully the Imperial Polk County contest. I've got my name in the books on that, so hopefully I'll get set up for that. And then actually Angela's contest in Oviedo.
Oviedo.
I believe I'm on the list for that one, so I'll be doing those two. And that's pretty quick, right back to back.
Right. And you guys are based out of the Lakeland area too, is it?
Yes, we're both in Lakeland.
So you guys can pretty much hop on the road and beat a lot of different contests within a couple hours of your position, right?
Yes, we can. And that's something that we discussed also. We really haven't been hitting it as hard as we probably should or would like to. So I think we're going to be sitting down and looking at the schedule and putting in for more this year because, you know, Chad's trying to get his master judging, and so he needs more contests. And it's a lot better to go with somebody else instead of driving in there by yourself. So
we're going to
be looking into that. So help Chad try to get hit because he has more contests under his belt than I do, so he would be able to get it first.
You know, it does take a great commitment, and, you know, everybody just thinks that the judges come and they eat. Sometimes they eat a lot, but it still is time away from your family. It's a commitment with, you know, money to drive to wherever it is. So, you know, I appreciate it. I love doing it. Can you tell us just real quick while I'm thinking about this point, what's the rule about once a year? Do you know how to explain that?
In order to keep your standings as a FBA judge, you have to judge at least, you know, have to pay your dues, of course, and judge at least one contest a year to keep your credentials.
And do you know when they measure that 1 year from?
I'm assuming it's from fiscal year to fiscal year.
No,
I know we pay our dues and. December, so it starts in January, so you have to do one within a calendar year.
No, it's not. It's from the last contest that you judged. So that's important to know because I was really worried about that, wanting to cook more, and so I grabbed Wendy and she said, no, it's from the last contest you judged. So,
that's interesting. I did not know that part.
Yeah, and I wanted to kind of bring that up because I don't think many people do, and I scrambled last year. As a matter of fact, Karen Hyde gave up her spot for me to be able to judge, and she wouldn't have had to. I would have been able to make it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I'm glad that she was able to do that for you. But you know, I was not aware that it's from the last time you judged, but. Maybe they need to make that a little bit more clear so people would understand that.
Well, and I think you're right. Now, when you took the class, was Marty your instructor?
Yes, he was.
I want to say DiMaggio, but that's not the right last name. Help me out here.
There is a DiMaggio, yes.
Oh, I did say the right last name? He won Judge of the Year, right?
Judge of the Year, correct.
Yeah, so Marty had him helping teach the class. I think he taught a lot of the class down in Fort Pierce.
I heard that he's helping with that, yes. I know Marty still does most of them, but I know there is a couple that he doesn't do, but I think Marty does most of the classes. And he puts on a really, really good class and is very informative. He goes into, you know, as much detail as he can, you know. So you come out of that class knowing a whole lot more about barbecue than you did when you went in.
Absolutely. And, you know, now when they're doing them in conjunction with contests, the judges, because when I did it, it wasn't in conjunction with the contest, so we didn't really look at boxes. And now, I think it was 4 years, Dana and that built, I don't know, they probably built five boxes for each group.
We had a team build boxes for our class. So we were actually, I think we had like seven tables of judges, you know, potential judges taking the class. So they built a box for each one of the tables. And I know Karen Hyde was helping out, you know, two or three different tables, you know, showing them how to judge and going from table to table and helping out. So she was a really big help in there also. But, yeah, we had a team make boxes for, you know, all four categories.
Oh, nice.
So that was really beneficial to be able to see what they're talking about, because, you know, you can hear stuff all the time, but until you see it, you know, it's hard to put it together.
Yeah, you don't always remember. And I think they pretty much set standard practice now. I'm not sure. I did it at the Fun Cook, and I'm not really sure why we didn't have boxes, but we judged immediately, and that might be why. So, because we judged the backyard there, and that was great to be able to do right away. You know, so
I like judging backyard also. You know, to me, a lot of times I think the only thing difference in backyard and pro is $150.
Yeah.
Because there's backyard teams out there that turn in some incredible tasting and incredible looking boxes. So I kind of enjoyed doing backyard.
And I like to call them professional backyarders.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's just the entrance fee is different. They're turning in the same good product as the pro teams are. It's just they're in the backyard division.
Yeah. I did backyard in Apopka last year, and we had a lot of really good food. So, and this year it's even bigger, but I'm not going to judge this year. You and Chad both doing? Oh, you're not doing Apopka. You're going to be gone.
Chad's judging Apopka. I'm not.
Okay. Well, any thought of maybe getting involved up in that Carolina area since you're there for 2 months?
I get involved with visiting local restaurants, but I haven't ever looked into, you know, any competitions up there. But, you know, I know that there's some KCBS going on up there, so it's something that I'll definitely look into, because I usually take this trip every year with my mom. So it's something that if there's contest up there, I can actually do it, so it'll be good.
Hey, have you ever been to Clyde Cooper's in North Carolina, in Raleigh?
No, I haven't. I've got a bunch of family, I think, over towards the Raleigh area, but no, I've never been to that. Mom's place is over in the Smoky Mountains, way on the west side.
Okay.
So we don't really get too much over on the east side.
Well, if you get to Raleigh, or your family, you should tell them to check out Clyde Cooper's. That's like the 75, or, and I'm going to say the wrong thing, but Debbie Holt, they just moved that restaurant. It's like 75 years old or 80 years old, and they tore down, they were tearing down the building for development, and they made a move, and she was traumatized, but it's supposed to be really good, and it's old-fashioned barbecue. So,
awesome. That sounds really great.
Yeah. Okay, so now, Daryl, is Chad with us yet? Oh, Daryl's sleeping. Because I was kind of expecting Chad to be there. Daryl, are you there?
No, not yet. I was just having my mic off. No, he's not here yet. We're still with you want me to call him real quick? Does anybody know? Well, you can't tell me his number.
Yeah. We'll be calling him real soon. Is D'Angelo on the line, too?
No, but I'll tell him to call back in.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. I just want to make, I wanted to see because I was just going to overlap him and Chad just a second. Kim, is there anything you want to leave us with tonight?
No, I just really appreciate the time that you let me get on the your show here. I enjoyed chatting with you whenever we're out at the contest, and I just want to thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Now, you be safe going to North Carolina tomorrow. I forgot that you...
We got the other
caller, I think we were going to go tomorrow, but I think we're waiting until Thursday to go now.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. And I guess, Chad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, you know, it's a two for Tuesday because we got the brothers on, so I wanted to just have you guys on at the same time for 2 seconds.
All right.
Anything about doing this together as a family? Because, I mean, this is kind of a family event.
Well, I think if one of us gets a team going, then we'll definitely be on the same team together. I mean, I can't cook without my brother, so he's definitely – plus he's the champion cook, so I need him there.
I don't know. Tim is more of the cook, and I'm more of the help and, you know, prepping the meat and getting everything ready. But as far as, you know, getting the team together, it would be exciting. But I just don't currently have the – financial means to get it done right now. We can look into it maybe later on this year or maybe next year. Start off with a bang, but now, you know, I'm just enjoying judging and enjoying cooking with some different teams.
Well, good deal. All right, Ken, listen, we'll let you go, but thank you so much for being with us, and I'll go on to your brother Chad.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Thanks a lot. Be careful going up to North Carolina. Okay, so that's Tim Hughes, folks, and we're here now with Chad Hughes, the two brothers. And so, Chad, he was telling us that you guys this is getting ready to be your third year, right?
Yes, this is our third year judging so far. We haven't really I haven't really done a lot of judging as I would want to, but this year I've kind of got on the ball and, you know, got my name out there for some judging, and I've got a pretty long list this year so far. So it's not like I'm trying to get to my master judging so soon, because it takes a long time to get to it. You have to judge like 20 times. But I am at like... I'm sorry?
It's 25.
Yeah, 25. And I just recently learned that. I always thought that it was 20 times, period. And then within those 20 times, if you're table captain, you have to be table captain 5 times within those 20. I just recently learned that that's not the case. You have to judge 20 times and then 5 more table captains on top of that, so a total of 25.
Yeah. Now, have you had an opportunity to do any table captaining yet?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Yeah. Have you had any opportunity to table captain yet?
Yes. Yes. I actually table captained, I think about 3 times. 2 of them have been sanctioned with FBA, and I also table captained a couple times. Was non-sanctioned events. I think there was 2 non-sanctioned events that I was table captain. So I've got a lot of experience in table captain, but only 2 worked as credit.
Yeah, that's going to count. So kind of where I wanted to go with our conversation, and I know we didn't get a chance to chat in advance at all, but you were just able to cook with Janelle as part of the requirements for a master judge. From a judge's point of view, what's your feeling about that whole experience?
Well, first of all, now that I've cooked with a team, you know, I've found myself cooking fairly early. I've noticed, you know, if you look on the list of all the judges, there's a lot of judges that hasn't cooked with a team yet. They've been judging longer than I have. Now that I've had this experience, which is a great experience cooking, I'm almost thinking that it might be a good idea to maybe advise all the judges to go ahead and cook with a team. Go ahead and get that out of your way so you can learn, and that brings you, you know, more experience to the judging table also, because there's just a lot of stuff that goes in cooking, and you don't really realize all the stuff and all the money that they put in cooking and starting up and just, you know, prepping the meat and all that stuff. You don't really realize it until you go help a team and go cook with them. So it was a really good experience.
Well, you know, I actually really like that idea of doing it early, because I think it's important for judges to realize that. I like that idea. Karen Hyde said she wouldn't be opposed to making judges cook once a year with a team, but that would be tough to come up with the team to be able to do that with, you know, type of thing. But I like that idea of doing it early.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing maybe like a rule change, like maybe change the rules. Maybe your first 3 to 5 years of judging, I think you should be required to cook with a team, so it gives you that experience. I don't know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah, I was just saying that. You know, the quicker you learn your experience with a cook team, you know, the quicker you'll have your credit, and you'll be able to bring more experience back to the judging table.
Yeah, because just like what Tim and I were talking about too, you can be told what it's like, and you can be told, you know, different things, but until you see it, you really do miss that. So, you know, I support that, Chad. I think you ought to bring that up to Marty. Tell the czar of judging that, and I bet you he would like it too.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: you cooked this weekend with Jim again, but were you cooking on the vending side or were you helping with the competition?
I was actually helping with the competition, and you know, vending is a whole nother big deal that goes into it. Wow. I don't know how a team can, you know, vend and compete. Especially with the KCBS, with the Lakeland Pig Fest. Wow, that's a whole different experience, because FBA, each category is top of the hour. Where KCBS is, you have to turn that every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So trying to deal with that, plus all of your vending food, you know, all the people that helped us out at Sweet Smoke Q, each person was very vital to our production there. I mean, every, you know, Tim was helping out with the vending meat while I was helping Jim prep for the competition. And each of our friends out there helping with the vending, you know, everybody was busy and everybody had a job to do. And we wouldn't be able to do it without them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the vending part of it, when I helped Jim in Zephyr Hills, he did most of it. And I kind of sat back and was learning. But this time in Lakeland, he actually kind of sat back and let me do it, let me do most of it. So I think the only thing that I wasn't able to learn was prepping the chicken. Of course, he does that. I think all the cook teams, they do that like days ahead of time because it just takes so long to do that.
Yeah.
So the only thing I wasn't able to do was the chicken. But he pretty much sat back and let me do prepping most of the other meat.
Wow.
So I had more hands-on experience in Lakeland than I did in Zephyr Hills.
Well, that's amazing. I know that you guys had such a great showing in Zephyr Hills. So I don't know if Tim told you this, and I'm going to put you on the spot, but I got into Sam's, and I wanted to know if you wanted to cook it with me, because I have to have somebody cook. So it's out there for you if you want to think about it and let me know. But you know, it's the weekend of the Fort Pierce contest, and I signed up without, you know, really thinking about it. I wanted to do a KCBS contest, but now I'm like, oh, crap, I have to have somebody cook with me. So Jim and I
when
were talking.
When is
this? It's the 22nd. It's the same weekend as the Fort Pierce contest. So if you're judging, you wouldn't be able to. But it's the
I'm not judging Fort Pierce, but I don't know what month that ends, but yeah, I mean, if you're need some help, then I'm willing to help. I think you might have to go through Jim, because since I helped him get grand champion and helped him actually get a call in Lakeland for the first time, I don't know, he may have me locked down and don't want to share me with anybody.
Oh, wow. I told him that I was going to ask you when we were talking the other day. But I guess I better clear it with him. I don't know. I didn't think I could clear it with him. Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, not putting you totally on the spot, but I knew that you seemed like you had a blast with Jim doing that. And as a judge who just did that part, what would you tell a new team as far as the cook's end of it, what a judge is looking for? And so what would some of your tips be to a new team, having done your cook part?
But just basically all the, all the hard work that goes into it, and just different ways that it's prepped and different ways that it's made. I don't know, it's just a lot of different things that you learn and you can bring to the table.
What about, is there something that you would tell him to watch for or try to do special? Not without giving secrets away, but, is there one tip that you would have picked that you would share with a new team?
Oh, you mean what would I share with a new team? I thought you meant what would I share with the judges. Okay. I don't know. It's kind of hard. I mean, you can give them some tips, but, without giving too much away, too much secrets away. But, yeah, but there is, if there's somebody new cooking that doesn't really know how the boxes are supposed to be prepped or, boxes are supposed to be, then that would be a big help. I can tell them how to, basically how to build a box.
Yes. Now, and what about judges? Is there something that you think a judge should do first as they're getting into all of this? Other than the class, obviously.
Yeah, the class, and then mainly go out and just introduce yourself to a lot of cook teams. Let them know that you are a judge and that you're trying to learn about cooking and learn about how everything goes. Yeah, just...
I love that when they come around and talk to you. Do you get an opportunity to do that when you're doing the contest?
Oh yeah, that's one of the main things I do. I always go when I'm judging a contest. I always show up pretty early, check in, and then go out and walk around. Go out and introduce you to somebody that you don't know, or go around and see all the familiar faces that you do know from contest to contest. It's really fun.
Yeah, it is real fun. Now, when you guys took your class in Venice, you didn't get to judge right away. How long was it? Because just for people who don't know, in order to be certified, it's not just the class. You have to judge your first contest. So how long was it before you guys were able to actually get certified?
Well, the Venice class, I'm thinking that was in April. Yeah. Venice is usually in April, so that's when our class was. And I think maybe the very next week or a couple weeks after, Jim Elser started his Eagle Lake barbecue. That wasn't sanctioned, FBA sanctioned, but I was able to judge that, and that was my first judging experience. And then from then on, you just send out your emails and send out your letters, send out your judges' applications to different events that you want to go to, and just hope for the best and hope that your name gets on the list.
And
the quicker, from what I've found, the quicker you can put your name out there and send an email or send an application, the quicker you can be put on the list.
Because there are so many judges, and it is difficult to get. And some of the contests are, impossible to get on. Have you found that?
Yes. There was a couple contests here in Florida that I thought that it would be years before I got onto. that turned out to be a myth. That was a myth. Seeing there was a couple events. The Apopka one and the Claremont Pig on the Pond. For new judges, the myth going around was that's hard to get onto because it's just popular, and the list fills up really quick. So I didn't expect to be on a Popka this early, but I'm surprised. I made a Popka this year. I'm also scheduled for Claremont Pig on the Pond in Claremont.
Oh, you are?
Yes, yes. I actually got on that list, and happy about that. I've got a pretty big year ahead of me. I'm doing Winter Haven. I'm judging Winter Haven this weekend. Then I'm doing a Popka, and then I'm doing Claremont. I'm judging Kissimmee. I've got the IPC in May. I just heard that I was confirmed for that. Oviedo and Venice. And hopefully, I haven't heard anything back from Tavares. I'm still trying to work on that, the event in Tavares. And I'm also trying to work on the Haines City, Ribbed on the Ridge. I've never been out there. So that's one of those events that's kind of close to my house. Haines City is only about a 30-minute drive. If I don't get on to the judges list, since it's so close, I wouldn't mind helping another team, you know, helping Jim or helping you or, you know, helping Barn Goddess or helping some other team who needs some help. So if I'm not on a judges list, I would still like to drive out there and, you know, help somebody out.
Well, you know, and I know Jim's kind of like me, that cooking alone, it's nice to have somebody around to help you. So anytime that Jim allows for you to, and you're going to end up having a punch card in different trailers here if you're willing to help out.
Yep.
No, but you did a great job with him. And, you know, he's used to having Garrett, and, you know, with him not being there lately, I think anybody helping him is, you know, gives him a little bit of relief, because I know when I'm fortunate enough to have either a master judge or Angela is able to show up, then it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So what have you got? You've got like 8 contests then coming up here, don't you?
I've got quite a bit. This is gonna be quite a busy year for me, which I'm looking forward to it. I don't really try to schedule, judging class, or no, I'm sorry, not class, but I don't really try to schedule judging. I usually try to stay in like a 2-hour radius of my area. Like I'm in Lakeland, I'm right in the middle of Florida. So if I can get 2 to 2.5 hours a radius around Central Florida, then I'm booking them as soon as I can get them. But anything that's, you know, down south in Miami area, or way up in the Tallahassee, I don't really, you know, because I'm, you know, I have a young family, you know, I've got kids, so it's kind of hard for me to just pick up and drive 3 or 4 hours away, just to judge. So thankfully there is a lot of events in my area that I can hit per year.
Well, that's what Tim and I were talking about. You know, if you guys. Uh-oh.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to actually hey, Daryl, wait a minute. I'm trying. My phone's about to go dead, and I just walked in my house. I'm trying to call in. Still there, Daryl?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you wide open. As soon as you hit the board, I got you.
Okay, so I'm going to try and call in with my phone, but they won't let me call in if you're in, because my cell phone's about to go dead.
Okay, you going to call in as a host?
Yeah, I just walked in the house, so I'm going to put my headset on if that works.
Okay, you want me to get off?
I'm sorry. Daryl, you have been amazing to sit in for me.
No problem, man.
Okay.
Get ready to call in right quick so you don't lose everybody.
Okay, Oh, yeah. Wait. Big call. So everybody be just patient with me a second. I'll do that. I was called in, and then it said wouldn't let me do it. Let's see if that lets me. Oh, there's a problem. Carol, are you still there? Chad, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, hang loose. Don't leave me because I'm
no
trying
problem.
To.
No problem. I won't leave.
This is the thing about it being live. Because Daryl was such a lamb chop to sit in for me tonight while I had this catering gig, and you guys are being real patient with me. And this is what happens when it's live. Okay. Blog Talk's not letting me call in. So we're going to try and stay on until absolutely my phone goes to smithereens, but it won't let me. Oh, wait, let me try something here. I'm on a computer, and this is part of it. We're going to try it again. Oh, you're doing really good, too. So tell us, what do you do for a living?
I work at Publix Supermarkets. I am at Printing Services for Publix, and I've been with Publix for about, actually, next week will be 18 years.
Oh, my God, Publix. Really?
Yep.
That's a great company to work for. Are you there in the Lakeland office?
Yes, well, I'm close to downtown Lakeland, yes. We're pretty much all of the warehousing and everything for Lakeland, it's all on the same street.
Wow, that's a long time to be with a company, and they definitely do a great job. Here, I'm sorry I'm pausing here because I'm trying to get this to come through. Okay, they're going to let me in. Okay, let me kill this phone. Chad, stay right where you're at, baby.
Okay,
are you there?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. I'm sorry about the confusion. So have you cooked with any other teams? That was part of what I wanted to go back to.
No, I haven't. Jim was kind of the first guy that I met, one of the first guys that I met in the barbecue world, and we just kind of clicked, and I decided if I would earn my master's credit for, you know, with a cook team, then I would hope that it would have been Sweet Smoke Q. So I was able to get that done.
Well, you did a great job. Is there anything you want to leave us with other than that you're dying to cook with me?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm dying to cook with you. But no, I mean, just thank you for having me on, and looking forward to this busy year coming up. And if there's some contest that I'm not able to judge, and I'd still like to come out there and offer my services to anybody that needs it.
Well, I appreciate it. And like I said, you check that Sam's date now and let me know, and keep up the good work. I mean, we really do as teams appreciate everything that the judges do, and, you know, any input that you can give new teams when you're walking around, I know is appreciated too. So thanks for coming on. You guys, the two brothers, have been very generous with your time.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, Chad, thanks a lot. You guys have a great week.
Okay, thank you. You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, so now I'm actually looking to see if my other guest is here, because I see I'm going to have to call him. We've got a gentleman that's out of the area here, so we're going to actually dial in. This is another thing that we are allowed to do from the switchboard. But while I'm on here, I also want to tell you that I did the Mac Daddy Challenge this week, and if you read anything on Facebook, you probably saw me talk about it. It's a great idea. It is where seasoned teams come in and actually mentor some brand new teams. And it was a great experience. I would say overall, most of the people were very, very willing to take suggestions. So it was just a great experience overall for both the mentors and the guys. Now, I guess you guys can actually hear that ringing. We're actually calling Tim Dickey with Tim?
Yes.
Yes, it's Lori Frazee.
Yes, let me.
Anyway, let me
turn off my computer because I was just listening to you.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay,
that
so
was
you're
pretty
live.
Impressive. That was So that was pretty impressive the way you slid in like that. It's like you're sliding into home.
I'll tell you, Daryl took care of me, and, you know, I kind of feel bad. I shorted Chad there a little bit because I was screwed up, but my cell phone was about to die.
I was saying. It was like you slid into home right before it died.
So for everybody out there, we've got Tim Dickey with us, and he is the Smoky Oaky Food Products. But you also, you've got a lot of different things in the fire, don't you?
Oh, yeah, way too many. I need about three or four more myself. I've been working on this clone thing so that I can keep up with everything as well as I need to. I don't know who all is listening. I imagine a lot of you already know me. My name is Tim Dickey. I'm also known as the Smoky Oaky, Smoky Oaky and Company Barbecue Team. And on Facebook, some of you, I might not should mention this part, but some of you may know me as Fat Boy on Facebook. Anyway, that's who I am.
That is who you are. And actually, the way you have it, it's Fat Boy.
Yeah, well, Facebook wouldn't let me have Fat Boy, so I just put Fat B and then Oi. And there's a long story behind why that, too. I'm actually really not that fat anymore. I lost about 100 pounds over the course of 6 months, starting October 2012. So it's been suggested that I should change my name, the first name on Facebook, to be Not So. My last name to be Fat Boy, but
and that's a huge testament to, you know, weight loss, because I notice a lot of the guys out there right now are really working on that, and you'll see some of them go, I got 80 pounds, I got 100 pounds to lose, and it seems like it's going forever. 6 months to lose 100 pounds, amazing. Tim, so you did a great job.
Well, thank you for that. I think it's like anything else, though. You know, when an individual gets motivated to do something, they usually stand up and do it.
Yeah. You
know, whether it's weight loss or quitting smoking or maybe winning barbecue championships, so on and so forth.
Yep.
The last one might be a little more. The last one might be a little more elusive than weight loss.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us as a collective audience, how long you've been doing this and how did you get into it?
Outdoor cooking?
Yeah.
I've been doing outdoor cooking for about 50 years. When I started cooking barbecue, they didn't have these offset cookers. You had to learn how to dig a hole in the ground or how to stack cinder blocks and take the grate out of the inside oven, so on and so forth. It's
right.
I've witnessed quite a metamorphosis of what barbecue is. It's really incredible to watch the way it's exploding right now. I've often said that barbecue right now is doing what golf did when Tiger Woods showed up.
Absolutely.
Where there used to be maybe a couple of golf courses in town, now there's 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah,
and where there was just a select few that fool with it, now it seems like everybody's doing it. Everybody wants to be attached to it.
That's a really good analogy of how the sport has changed, because we've talked about this before. They at one time, I think it was 2008, there were like 2,300 teams in the nation, and as of last year, there was like 8,900 registered teams in the nation.
It's just exploding. It's just exploding.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Go ahead. Oh, well, I was just going to say, so you've been doing this for quite some time, but when did you actually start competing?
I started competing 7 or 8 years ago. I want to say 8 or 9 years ago, and I really kind of lost track. I had a brief hiatus when thieves stole my trailer with all the smokers and gear and everything in it, and
I
had been cooking under a team called the Q Joint, which is the name of an outdoor cooking forum that I have, which, by the way, is an excellent place to go around to hang out and learn about more than just barbecue, just any type of outdoor cooking, and, you know, ask questions, post pictures. It's www.thequjoint.com. The team kind of fell apart after we had built that trailer out ourselves, and after the trailer was stolen, nobody really felt like building a new one, and we just kind of went our way. It kind of took the wind out of the sails.
Well, and you know, I understand that. That's horrible to have happen.
Well, you know, it's just like anything else, Lori. You've got to have, you know, you got to have the fire in your belly, and things like that can knock the fire out of it and kind of cuts it all off.
Yeah.
I told myself I was going to stay retired due to costs and lack of time and all that until had a call from a friend last, I guess it was probably last March, Mo Kason, who told me that he needed some of my products and he was going to be in Oklahoma, and if it wasn't too far out of my way, could I bring him some? David Qualls, for those of you that know him, had a contest organized at the casino in Miami, Oklahoma. I guess it wasn't too far, about an hour and a half away. I drove up and took most stuff to him, but I hadn't been to a contest for a while. And while I was up there, the smells and the sounds and the old friends and new faces.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say that a week and a half later, I was dragging a new barbecue trailer to the house and ordering another backwoods smoker to have on it. And there I went.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, does it?
Well, I think once you're a barbecuer, you're always a barbecuer, whether you go to competitions or not. I mean, it's the people, it's the just the feel of the contest, being around, you know, the smell and the smoke and the smells of the rubs and cooking and all that stuff. And I mean, it just gets in your blood and it just stays there.
Yeah. Now, you said you cook on a backwoods. Did I read somewhere that you're also a distributor or a dealer?
Yes, I'm a backwoods dealer.
Dealer.
Anybody needs one, now's the time to order. The wait time right now is only about 8 weeks. That's going to turn into 14 weeks pretty quick.
Wow.
Whether you want to order one for me or if you've got a favorite backwoods dealer in your area, better get it ordered now for this season. You can find me at... Or excuse me, Lori, this is your radio show, or shameless...
No, go ahead. Cause,
are shameless plugs allowed here?
Yeah, you're okay.
It's www.backwoodsok.com. And anybody that that calls me on account of this radio show, that refers to this radio show, I've got special goodies to give you if you order one.
Well, there you go. Well, so, people like... We all like special goodies. Now, let me ask you this. Let's talk about your Smokey Okey products, because I've had several people say that you had some things that were really good in that, and I had started, you know, researching it just to see what all you had. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got going into that?
No, you couldn't be doing very serious research, or I'd have seen an order come through the store. If you want to research seriously, you have to taste it, but that's okay. You'll get there. I understand.
Yeah, and you got to understand. I was talking to Lene Oxley yesterday, and she said I have so much rub that, you know, she'll never be able to use it all. And I like to look at things. You get used to using specific things. But especially when somebody tells me something's good, I like to look it up and, you know, read what I can read about it. So, but why don't you tell us what you have and let's go from there.
Smokey Okey Food Products has been kind of a metamorphosis over the last several years. Started off with just blending my own seasonings and posting pictures on the internet and whatnot. People would see them and ask me about the seasoning, the rub, so on and so forth, and I'd send them some. I started off making 5-pound batches, then 10-pound batches, and then 40-pound batches, and pretty soon it gets to be work and, you know, probably more than what you want to do on your own.
Right.
So I started outsourcing the blending and packaging, and like to went broke, sending people free samples.
Yeah.
I finally decided I needed to start selling them, and then came the website, and... bit by bit, it's been product after product. I come out with the first was a chicken seasoning called Rooster Booster, and it went over real well, and people would say, well, why don't you have something for this? And I say, well, I do, but I haven't got it on the market yet. Well, 4 or 5 times of that, and you start feeling like you owe it to people to come out with it. So it's kind of gone on and on and on. And let's see, I don't have a list in front of me. I'm not at work. This is my relaxation hour.
Okay.
Well, but, you know, don't feel guilty about that, because anybody that knows me that has ever talked barbecue with me will tell you that it's hard to shut me up when I start talking barbecue.
Well, and that's pretty much, don't you think that that's pretty much everybody who's into it?
Well, I know a lot of people that way. Some of them a little more silent. Some of them you wish you could get them to talk a little more.
Well, yeah, but they're not going to tell you anything, so.
I've currently, let's see if I can think of all of the just strictly barbecue products that I've got. I have the Okie Dust pork rub that is just kicking tail right now. People are using it on their butts and their ribs and their poultry. All three. I like it on popcorn. I like it on fresh home cut potato chips. It's real good food. I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, I guess 5 injection products. So I have an all-in-one for pork that actually has seared, water-soluble seared pork in it, in combination with basically soluble extractives of all the things that you'd put into a good rub. You know, the idea is everybody knows the bark is the best flavor on the pork butt. That's
right.
Why everybody tries to get as much into their chop or their pulled stuff as they can. Well,
right.
You know, I've always thought, you know, the inside all nice and tender and juicy and all that. Well, what if you can put that bark flavor inside? And that's what we've tried to do. We have a product called Bark, which is basically nothing but seared pork that's water soluble. We have paired that up. We have another product called Sweet Smoking Swine Brine, which is basically a soluble extractives of what you'd put into a good rub with some sweetness in it. We have Pure Pork Power, which is a combination of those two things. I might add, too, that for those of you that are phosphate fans, and I'm a big fan of phosphates for competition barbecue.
Right.
The Sweet Smoking Swine Brine and the Pure Pork Power both have a blend of phosphates that's blended especially for working in conjunction with pork flesh. Let's see. I guess that's kind of the main thing for pork. We have a beef flavor, which is like I was speaking a minute ago, the water-soluble seared beef flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So I might, you know, ask you, have you ever had a steak that wasn't properly seared?
Yeah.
Didn't have much flavor, did it?
Right.
And compared to the one that's properly seared. So, you know, that's where the good beef flavor comes from is when it's seared. The Maillard process, a lot of people know it as. Chemically changes all the elements that are there and gives it that wonderful flavor. We've taken that flavor, that actual ingredient, and made it water soluble so that it can be injected into briskets. We call that product Deep Beef. A lot of jokes been made about that name, but anybody that ever tastes it will know that why it's called that is because it's just a very deep, very beefy flavor.
Now, how long have you been doing the different rubs and spices then?
I think probably 6-7 years.
Oh, I was going to say, because you seem to have a pretty extensive list.
Well, let me say this. I've been a very devout student of the culinary arts for decades. I think I cooked the first meal I've ever cooked when I was about 5 years old. And so not just barbecue, but all different elements. So, you know, flavors and processes, so on and so forth, are kind of a second nature to me, kind of a creative release, if you will. I
mm-hmm.
enjoy making new and different things that make new and better flavors. So, you know, I guess, you know, getting into competition barbecue and wanting to make, you know, better turn in boxes and score better has caused me to go out and do these things.
Absolutely.
I've still got 8 or 10 different products that I need to bring to market. The next one I've never been big on Me Too products, and anybody that uses my products will tell you that what I sell is different than I'm not going to mention any names, but we all know there's certain ones out there that are just like, the only difference is try mine. It's got a different label on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. That's why I've stayed away from sauces. Sauces are so much alike. I want to be the one that goes out there and brings totally new and different things to the user.
Well, I think a lot of the guys that do rubs, I mean, I've had different guys on, and they don't ever want to, you know, some of them never want to touch a sauce. And then you'll have the guys in competition that seem to be using it for competition, and then it's like, well, I might as well bring it to market, you know, because it's either doing so well or they, you know, have been asked to do it. So it's funny because there's so many people in that. That's a competitive space.
Yes, it is. All of it is. It, you know, of
yeah.
course, as the sport explodes, it's going to be more and more so.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like anybody that frequents any of the little user groups on Facebook or any of the barbecue, internet barbecue forums, every time you turn around,
yeah.
here's so-and-so with his new line and so-and-so with his new line. And, you know, some of them will survive. Some of them will fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that's in trending, and a lot of it is just what actually has gone into the, you know, the making of the product.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, too. I think some people think they're going to come out with a good rub and get rich. No.
Yeah.
No. To all of you aspiring out there to be a producer of barbecue sauces, producer of rubs, injections, so on and so forth, you're not going to make enough money to pay you for your time. It has to be something that you love to do, and that has to be your reason.
Yeah.
And I don't think you'll find a single. I don't think you'll find a single one of us out there that won't tell you the same thing. But anyway, I don't think I ever finished telling you about the products. Well, I guess yeah, I pretty well got a sum. Oh, I need to tell you about my chicken brine, poultry brine that I came out with just about a year ago, called the Solution for Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I can't mention any names, and all you competitors out there know why I can't. People think they've got the new secret thing, and they don't want anybody else to know they're using it, and that's why they're
right.
winning. Now, let me go back up just a second and tell you this. All of my products are winners. If they weren't winners, they wouldn't be on there. Wouldn't have them. Just not worth messing with something that people aren't winning with. And I've had a couple of them that didn't go over so well and dropped them. But the Solution for Chicken is really catching wings right now. I think that it's 4 out of the top chicken teams, KCBS last year, using it, just for starters. If you want to pick your chicken scores up and you haven't tried Smokey Okey's Solution for Chicken, you owe it to yourself to buy a bag and give it a try. I'll add this too: I'm a little different than most folks. I don't mind to share anything that I know about barbecue. You know, I know a lot about it. I'm not secretive. If there's something I'm doing that's having good results, I'm not worried about somebody copying my thing and going out and beating me. Yet, number one, they're probably not going to copy it exactly anyway, but, you know, if they can take something and just start doing it, and I've been doing it for years and doing well with it, if they can beat me, well, they deserve to beat me. They're the better cook, and I think that's what it's all about, don't you?
Yeah, you know, and I think so many of the guys that we deal with on a regular basis, they're the same way. I mean, I beat up Jim Melzer all the time, and he gives stuff easily to people to help him out, and he really does. But it's like you said, you could tell them exactly how to do it, and they're going to still do it a little bit different because they might like a different flavor or they might like something else they want to do, and you're not going to change that. So it's never going to come out the exact same, is it?
You give a good recipe to 6 different chefs, and they're all going to come up with something that looks and tastes totally different, and that's just kind of the way it is.
It's pretty funny. So now, how can people get a hold of you for your products?
Well, let's see. I have my products are in several brick-and-mortar retailers, probably too many to list. Online, they can go to barbecuesuperstore.com.
Mm-hmm.
They just joined the Smoky Okies family. They can go to Kansas City Barbecue Store, Dan Hathaway up there. Those guys run a real class operation. They can go to Southern Indiana Butcher Supply. I think at present that's about, wait a minute. I have an online store as well. It is at www.usbbqsupply.com.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up your own supply line.
and I probably shouldn't give out this phone number on radio or internet or whatever, but if anybody wants to call with questions and they've got a pen handy, can I give them like 10 seconds to get a pen handy?
Well, what you could, I mean, if it's the number that's, remember, it's on your Facebook page because that's how I got you.
That's right. Find me on Facebook, Smoky
Yep.
Okie Food Products, and there's a number on there.
Yep.
Call me anytime you want. I don't mind evenings and weekends. There's always time to talk about barbecue as far as I'm concerned. Don't mind business hours. I do have a day job, and I'm always welcoming an interruption in my drudgery of running my chemical company to talk about barbecue for a while. So.
Well, we appreciate that. Anything that you want to leave us with tonight, Tim, that we might have missed?
I just want to wish everybody out there that's competing this year, everybody that's going out to do battle on the fields of the smoke, want to wish them the best of luck, and may the thin blue be with them in all their efforts. May everybody triumph this year. Most of all, make sure you have fun. That's the
absolutely.
Most important part.
Well, that's good words of wisdom. I appreciate you coming on tonight. I'm sorry that I don't know if I called you a little bit late or, but I
no, I was sitting there enjoying the show, listening to it on a computer, and worked out just right, just perfect.
All right, well, thank you so much for being with us, and keep us posted if you got new products coming along. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure to come to know you.
Okay, you too, Tim. Take care. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So that's Tim Dickey, the Smoky Okie Food Products guy, and you can check him out on Facebook. Daryl took care of that first part, and I wasn't able to hear everything he talked about, so I'm just going to, do a few housekeeping things that I wanted to make sure to go over. First, I'd like to congratulate Matt Barber with Hot Wauchulas for – he's the governor. We'll be calling him the governor from now on, winning the Governor's Cup at the KCBS contest down in – Lakeland this week, and this week, Winter Haven, big contest in Florida, and I think pretty much everybody and their mother knows that there's a lot of stuff going on with barbecue pitmasters in the state of Florida. I'm still going to bust chops in the fact that Florida wasn't a region, but they're filming in Florida, and a lot of Florida teams are loaning product out for people to cook on. So I don't know. There might be some wisdom problems there. Anyway, so that's happening in the next couple of weeks, which there's a lot of buzz about out there. Going back to the Mac Daddy Amateur Challenge, encourage anybody that's within a radius that you feel you want to drive for a day and a half education for $50. I mean, basically, they're going to give you a little seminar or class at night and then give you your meat in the morning, and you're going to cook it and prep it in that morning and do a turn-in. But there's people walking around to help. You're going to get feedback from your meat that you've turned in. For the first four of these events, they're going to be one meat. So chicken was last weekend. February 15th is going to be ribs, and then it's an 11-month series. Now, they're not saying that you have to commit to all 11 months, but to be eligible for that grand prize, which would be a Pit Viper Mac Daddy smoker cooker and the entry fee to the Flamingo contest that David Haskett does over there in Jacksonville. That's a pretty big contest or a prize for an amateur challenge, but you have to compete or be part of at least 8 of the events. And I think from the feedback that was given the other day from the guys participating was that I would say the majority of them are going to come back, and he has room there at that facility to take on some other people. So if you want to be involved with it, get a hold of them, because I saw a post today, and I actually posted it to the Barn Goddess page. I think it's by the 10th of February. You have to be signed up so that they can order enough meat. And then the meat is actually, they do a people's choice where people come in and they get a band and they go around and taste all the competitors and give feedback there too. So not only, like, as a judge, we were writing a paragraph or notations on every category, presentation, taste, and tenderness, to the participants. So I thoroughly enjoyed visiting with the teams and helping out who wanted to be helped out. I would say that for the most part, everybody was super receptive. Some of the guys that were there was a guy that came in second place who borrowed a pit barrel cooker from Gary Parks and actually came in second, and he borrowed it. So that was pretty fun to see. And that's, you know, a true testament of somebody who wants to cook, being willing to cook on something for the first time. There was a guy who just bought one of the pit vipers, and it was his first cook. He had literally lit it up that morning to cook on it. So it was a lot of fun. And certainly I'm big about classes. There's so much to learn, but this is a great opportunity to do it inexpensively and over a period of time. So it gets you kind of in that mode of setting up and having a shorter timed cook, but still doing a cook, getting you prepped for a contest. So anyway, that was a lot of fun and really dug doing that. Sweet Smoke Q, I think you heard Chad and Tim both mentioning Jim's having a heck of a year, but I'm also wanting to acknowledge my sponsors. He's got his anything on the website. He's going to do a special if you use the word goddess, and he'll do a 15% off. So if you want to try the juice or the sauce or an injector, anything on the website, 15% off by using the code goddess. And he's getting ready to go back out to Winter Haven. And I got to tell you, him and Jim and Matt and Dana and Rub, they're all back at it for Team of the Year. And I can see that that's just going to be, it'll go down to the wire again this year like it did last year, because you've got Team Unknown and Blitzkrieg and, Terry McKay, when he's able to show up, it's anybody's contest to lose, as Matt Barber would say, and I'm using that from now on. When I go, it's my contest to lose, and I think that I love that. Matt gave me that, the governor himself, so I'm really excited about that. Anyway, I want to thank all my sponsors, and I've got some new people to recognize. Sweet Smoke Q, again, 15% off if you use the word goddess on his website. Pit Barrel Cooker Company, really excited to see the team, and I lost the name of the team, but you can check out my little live remote I did from the Amateur Challenge. And these guys are new, so, you know, they were a little taken back by having somebody go, hey, you're live on the air, because I'm walking around with a phone. But you can go on there. By the next time I'm able to attend one of these, oh, they'll be talking like their old hat, and they'll know that it's just a chance to talk about barbecue. But I did talk to several different teams, so I hope you get a chance to listen to that. I put a link up on the Barn Goddess Radio Show page for that, so check that out. Also, Mac Daddy Smokers come on board. I'm going to be a proud owner of a reverse flow Pit Viper. Actually, I'm not going to be the first one to cook on it. I'll be delivering it to a team for Barbecue Pit Masters, so you could see that live there. Otherwise, I'll have it in Apopka and look forward to having that there. Also, RecTech Grills, I'll have a new pellet cooker. And I encourage you, if you want to take a look at it, come by my site. My next contest will be Apopka. And I am staying to do the a chili cook-off, which is the next day. Several teams are staying, and I think if you remember, if you're going to Winter Haven and you want to leave your rig in the Apopka area, they have opened that up. And if you get a hold of Chuck Carnesale, he will take care of that for you or tell you who to get in touch with if you want to leave your rig. And then also, if you think you might be interested in doing the judging, get a hold of them because they are taking they're taking standbys right now just in case something happens with somebody who's been confirmed. Other sponsor that I'm real happy that's come on board with me is Royal Oak Charcoal and Hardwood Lump Charcoal. So I appreciate all those folks that are coming on and looking at the new year with me. And if you have any questions, or like I said, if you want to take a look at their equipment in my site, don't ever hesitate. You know, I've got Jim's cooker there too. So if you want to see a sweet smoke Q juice can, you can always see that. That's where I do my ribs. So you're welcome to come by and take a look at any time. If you are a stick burner, I'm going to be so happy to be back into a stick burner. I know that it doesn't allow me to sleep as much, but I wasn't sleeping anyway, so what's the difference? I might as well stay up and have my stick burner and be all excited about it. So with that, guys, I think we've covered it. I don't think I've left anybody out. I really appreciate, I did want to thank last week's people who were on with me. I had David Morrow, Craig Sherry. I hope some people took Craig up on his discount last week. I got so busy I didn't get to order some more, but Craig Sherry with Texas Pepper Jelly, he's always an interesting guy to chat with. David Morrow, Blue Bloods, we want him to stay safe out there because they've been having some vicious weather, and I know the police, and he's a officer on the road, so we want him to take care of himself out there. And then also I had Jim on talking about his last grand championship. So thank you to those past guests. Look for me next week on Tuesday where I won't be catering. This weekend I won't be doing a live remote, but you can check Barbecue Superstars out 6 nights a week, and you can check out Daryl every morning on the morning show on Barbecue Superstars starting at 9 o'clock. Also, we are, Daryl and I, will be doing a sit-down desk with the Barbecue Superstar Sports Network, BSPN, and we're booking some people in there. We probably still have a couple of segments to do some interviews, and we'll be live-streaming that from Apopka. We'll be doing some live-streaming both Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and then also, since I'm going to be staying over on Sunday, Daryl is also planning to kind of follow the chili cook-off. So that'll be live-streamed on there, too. So please, if you're interested in being part of that, let me know because, or let Daryl know, because we are looking for a few more people that we'd like to do interviews with. So thanks for being with me. Thank you for being patient with my absence and Daryl sitting in. I certainly appreciate the Czar Barbecue Superstars being able to spend some time with you tonight. And we will see you back here live next week at Barn Gratis Barbecue and More. Thanks a lot, folks. Have a great weekend smoking. Bye.